is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes with the brooding ambient strains of Nadia Khan. Music from Sweden's Das Orchester, a glitchy sound poem from Dasha Rush, and a chilling jazz fugue by Leonard Bernstein. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carol Russoff of Craryville, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC-FM has closed its Hudson studio, and Wavefarm's Acre location is now closed to the public for an indefinite period of time. We are in virtual office mode with modified hours of operation for staff. All existing equipment and studio reservations, workshops, and gatherings are postponed until further notice. Our physical locations may be closed, but WGXC still wants to hear from you. We encourage your communication by email to info@wgxc.org and to WGXC's feedback line, 518-291-9492, where you may leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay.
Tune in to the daily Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from the River Newsroom from Lissa Harris of the River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley website. You can go to the rivernewsroom.com and the otherhudsonvalley.com websites for more information. Tune in to the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report every night at midnight at WGXC, also at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. for all the latest reports about COVID-19 regulations, new laws, new mandates. There'll be interviews with political officials and more on the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report, weekdays on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to A Myriad of Musings and Music with the 9th grade of Berkshire Country Day School. Today is a live show, special Pledge Drive edition. And to start off the show, we are actually going to play an interview that we recorded a couple days ago. And from there on, it will be a live show. So stay tuned. And here is the interview.
Segment today, we are interviewing Matt Maziero, co-owner with his brother Chris of Guido's Fresh Marketplace in both Great Barrington and Pittsfield. Today, we have Nora on the phone because unfortunately she cannot join us today. Welcome, Mr. Maziero. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
So, what inspired you to start a local grocery store in the Berkshires?
Well, I think there's not one major thing that comes to mind that inspired me to do this. When I graduated from school in Boston at Wentworth Institute, I was working for a construction company in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I wasn't really happy with that particular position that I had. And at 21, I had the opportunity to leave that particular job. And as my father, who was a school teacher, said, if you ever want to make any money, you want to work for yourself. So that was an opportunity for me to come out to the Berkshires and open a grocery store. So that was it.
And why specifically the Berkshires did you choose to do a grocery store?
Good question. I had a when I was growing up and I was everyone's age here, I had an after job, an after school job in Beverly, Massachusetts at a local fruit stand called O'Buster's. And I worked there from, probably seventh grade right through college. And it was a retail fruit stand. So I knew that particular part of the business. And the gentleman who owned that used to live in Schenectady, New York, and he traveled from Schenectady to Boston all the time. And so he always traveled through the Berkshires. And he said one day when I went to, I went to him to see if he would help me find a location to start a business. And he picked the exact location where Guido's in Pittsfield sits right now.
So what were some of the challenges that you guys had in the early days of the store? And I guess how do those challenges compare to the challenges that you have today? Are they similar or have...
Some of them are. There were many challenges. Logistically, the distance was a huge factor because the market where we went to buy our produce was located in Chelsea, Mass., mm-hmm. which is just outside of Boston. And that market opened up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I had to leave my house, travel to Chelsea, Mass., which is 130 miles from here.
Oh, wow.
Buy the produce, load the truck, come back, unload the truck, and then do it all over the next day. Whereas my brother would be taking care of the retail end and setting the stores up. So logistically, it was a huge issue because you would always have, when we started, we didn't have very good equipment. Trucks would break down, refrigeration would break down. So there was always those issues or problems. And then staffing, even to this day, is a problem. Not a problem. It's just hard. We have to.
Okay, so that was a little preview of our interview, and we'll finish that up a little later. Right now, we're going to turn to Nora, who's going to do our first current event. So wait, let me just bring you up, Nora. Let's just see. Nora? Okay, Nora. Okay. Would you like to start off with our first current event?
Yes. So this is about Iran and the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So tomorrow, March 5th, marks the 50th anniversary of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And according to the United Nations, the objective of the treaty is to, quote, prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and weapons technology, to promote cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy, and to further the goal of achieving nuclear disarmament and general and complete disarmament, end quote. The treaty is regarded as the cornerstone of the global non-nuclear proliferation regime and is an essential foundation for the pursuit of nuclear disarmament. It was designed to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and to further the goals of nuclear disarmament and general and complete disarmament, and to promote cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy. The treaty establishes a safeguard system under the responsibility of the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA. Safeguards are used to verify compliance with the treaty through inspections conducted by the IAEA. Recently, Iran's nuclear stockpile crossed a critical threshold. Since Donald J. Trump canceled the 2015 nuclear deal, Tehran appears to have enough enriched uranium to produce a nuclear weapon. Although it would take years to manufacture a warhead, the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, according to the New York Times, quote, "The International Atomic Energy Agency, which monitors nuclear capabilities and reports to the United Nations, also documented for the first time how Iran's leadership blocked its inspectors from visiting three critical sites where there was evidence of past nuclear activity." In addition to this, John Francis Welsh Jr., the former CEO of Chairman and Chairman of General Electric, died March 1st at the ripe old age of 84. He was the CEO of GE between 1981 and 2001. And now we're turning back to Miles with the next piece of our program. Miles, take it away.
Okay, so while we just figure out a little glitch we had, I'm just going to take a moment to say how important WGXC is to me and how important it is for all of you listeners to pledge to keep this great station going. Whether it's our show or any other shows you love to listen to, it's extremely important to everyone. And so you can donate by phone to 518-697-7400. Or one of the easiest ways to pledge is to go to wgxc.org/donate. And I'll repeat that for anyone who didn't hear. You can go online to wgxc.org/donate. Or you can pledge by phone to 518-697-7400. So now we're going to turn to Esme, who's going to give us a little update on the coronavirus. Right, Esme? Is that correct? Okay, wait. Let me bring you up. Okay, perfect. So, you ready?
Yes. So, just for a little update on the coronavirus in the U.S., the death toll has risen to be 11 today. One of the deaths was in California, which is the first death outside of Washington State so far. The person who died was an elderly person with an underlying disease already. The second death was in King County, Washington State, where most of Washington's deaths have occurred.
Okay, so now I think we'll play a little music while we just work out a little glitch we have. So we are going to... Oh, Eli, you want to tell your current event really quickly? Okay, great. So Eli can now take it away with his current event about tornadoes?
No, it's the...
more coronavirus?
Coronavirus,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
So the amount of cases worldwide is still rising. The number of cases at the moment has reached 95,000. 51,400 of these victims have recovered fully, and over 3,000 have died. 40,000 cases are still active. In China, many cities have been divided to keep the coronavirus contained and from spreading. They have also put in place rules for how many people can leave a house at once, or things like that, to keep it from spreading.
Okay, great. So now we are going to go to some music. Rafi will tell us a little bit. Rafi, do you want to just say the name of the piece, and then you can talk a little bit about it afterwards?
Sure, I'll talk a little bit about this afterwards. This is a jazz classic by Miles Davis called Freddy Freeloader.
So that was great to hear Freddie Freeloader from Rafi. So Rafi, can you go right over there to talk? Thank you. So, okay, so Rafi, can you just tell us a little bit about the piece?
Sure. So this was Freddie Freeloader. This is the second track, I think, on Miles Davis's album Kinda Blue. And this is a really famous album and a very, very well-known piece by Miles Davis. And this piece is in the form of a 12-bar blues, so it's that traditional blues form. And it's pretty, it's very simple. I mean, as you heard, the melody was just a very simple thing, but there's a lot you can do over this simple form. And so you heard that in these solos. The pianist playing for this song was not actually the normal pianist in Miles Davis's group. The normal pianist was Bill Evans. But for this, they brought on Wynton Kelly, who is kind of a blues specialist, to play for this song. And so you've heard his solo was first. The order of the solos was piano at first. No, his sort of his for piano, trumpet, and then saxophone. So Kelly, and then Davis, and then John Coltrane. And so this all these solos are really kind of iconic. And so they brought on Kelly to kind of hold us down and perform for this blues track. And so this is a very famous piece, Freddie Freeloader. It's one of my favorites. And so, yeah, those were the first three solos.
Great. So, I'm going to do... So, we're going to go back to the interview. We had a little glitch, so we're going to return to that. But before we do, I'm just going to say how important it is for all of you to pledge to keep the station alive. We want to keep doing our show. We want everyone else to be able to keep doing their show. And you really need to pledge. You can call 518-697-7400 or... Very easily, you can just go to wgxc.org/donate, and it's very easy. But now we're going to come back to our show, and we are going to start with the Matt Masiero interview. And here is the Matt Masiero interview.
In both Great Barrington and Pittsfield. Today, we have Nora on the phone, because unfortunately, she cannot join us today. Welcome, Mr. Masiero. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
So, what inspired you to start a local grocery store in the Berkshires?
Well, I think there's not one major thing that comes to mind that inspired me to do this. When I graduated from school at in Boston at Wentworth Institute, I was working for a construction company in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I wasn't really happy with that particular position that I had. And at 21, I had the opportunity to leave that particular job. And as my father, who was a school teacher, said, if you ever want to make any money, you want to work for yourself. So that was an opportunity for me to come out to the Berkshires and open a grocery store. So that was it.
And why specifically the Berkshires did you choose to do a grocery store?
Good question. I had when I was growing up and I was everyone's age here, I had an after job, an after school job in Beverly, Massachusetts at a local fruit stand called O Buster's. And I worked there from probably seventh grade, right through college, and it was a retail fruit stand. So I knew that particular part of the business, and the gentleman who owned that used to live in Schenectady, New York, and he traveled from Schenectady to Boston all the time. And so he always traveled through the Berkshires. And he said one day when I went to, I went to him to see if he would help me find a location to start a business. And he picked the exact location where Guido's in Pittsfield sits right now.
So what were some of the challenges that you guys had in the early days of the store? And I guess how do those challenges compare to the challenges that you have today? Are they similar or have...
Some of them are. There were many challenges. Logistically, the distance was a huge factor because the market where we went to buy our produce was located in Chelsea, Mass., mm-hmm. which is just outside of Boston. And that market opened up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I had to leave my house, travel to Chelsea, Mass., which is 130 miles from here.
Oh, wow.
Buy the produce, load the truck, come back, unload the truck, and then do it all over the next day. Whereas my brother would be taking care of the retail end and setting the stores up. So logistically, it was a huge issue because you would always have, when we started, we didn't have very good equipment. Trucks would break down, refrigeration would break down. So there was always those issues or problems. And then staffing, even to this day, is a problem. Not a problem. It's just hard. We have 275 people that work at Guido's. And so, to have the right mix of people sometimes is difficult.
Is that acquiring of produce still a problem today, to get it from so far away? Or?
Well, we do a lot more. I mean, we still travel to the market 3 days a week, 4 days a week, depending upon the time of the year. Okay. But we also work with many, many, many local farms, which helps a lot. And their product is so much better. It's far superior to anything you can get out of California, Florida, all over the world.
Yeah, so when did you make the switch from getting produce from Chelsea and then from local farms? How did you make that decision to...
That was an easy decision, but see, we can only get the local produce when it's in season. So it'll start in, mm-hmm. something start in the spring, go through the summer and into the fall. So we still have to get things out of the market throughout the year, especially in the wintertime.
I guess switching the course up a little bit, so Guido's, it's a fresh market. You talked about how you rely on the different seasons, but compared to, let's say, other supermarket chains, what do you think sets Guido's apart?
That's a great question. I think mainly our service, mm-hmm. to the customer. I think we do a great job of taking care of our customers and their requests. I think our quality is far superior in not only in the fruits and produce, but meats, fish, deli, all the fresh product that supermarkets might have a hard time taking care of.
So you would say the fresh aspect is really essential. Absolutely. to Guido's.
Yeah. Yes.
So sort of going back to the running of the bin. Running of the business. Mm-hmm. What is one of your favorite things about it?
Oh, I love being my own boss. Mm-hmm. That's the best part. Mm-hmm. You don't have to answer to anybody but yourself. But there are some drawbacks to that too, mm-hmm. because if you make a mistake, it's all on you.
Do you think it's important to have kind of like independent entrepreneurs in a community who are working for themselves and doing stuff for themselves and having a business that they own and that they're working for themselves?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure. I think you're going to find statistically that, I'm not sure what the percentage is, but you'll find that most of your workers work for not necessarily General Electric or something like that, but they're all, a lot of people are independent, mm-hmm. and they start their own companies. So there are many, many, many people that do this. The grocery business is tough. Uh-huh. Now, especially there's a lot of competition, especially from companies like Amazon, mm-hmm. Walmart, all of those people who are getting into this business and can deliver right to your door.
Yeah. But is that, you would say, one of a new coming challenge, or that you have these big, huge companies that...
that they ship food directly to fresh. Well, yes. I don't say it's fresh, but produce right to your door.
They ship. We would call produce fresh. Yeah, they'll also do meats and fish and deli products, prepared foods. But I think it's more of a it's not as much of a challenge for us right now. That happens mostly in the city, mm-hmm. where you have a demographic of thousands and thousands and thousands of people in a square, you know, uh-huh. block.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we don't necessarily we aren't dealing with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As of this moment, I'm not sure the Berkshires will ever get overrun with people.
Yeah,
that's true.
Do you think that kind of might become a problem in the future? And I don't know if it does. Do you have a way that you might deal with it? I know you said that your service is one of the things that sets you apart, and the fact that you have fresh, locally.
We've actually talked about doing some personal shopping. I'm not sure we're at the point where we want to do any delivery service yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I know Guido's is kind of an icon in the Berkshires, but when you were beginning this business, was there ever a time that you felt like you, I don't know, wanted to give up or, I don't know, the going got really tough?
Yes. There was a moment when we had, I think it was our first year.
Uh-huh.
Now, you remember when I said that I would drove my truck from Pittsfield to Boston?
Yep.
Well, in order for me to do that, I would leave my house at midnight, 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. drive uh-huh. to the market, get there by 4 in the morning, okay, uh-huh. load the truck, then come back, do it again.
Yep.
So after a while, a number of months, I said to my father one day, I said, geez, I don't know if I could do that. And he just begged me to keep going. He said, it'll get easier, it'll get easier. Because he wanted always to be an entrepreneur and wanted to work for himself.
Yep.
And he was right. It did get easier. 27 years later, when I stopped going to market and getting up at midnight, it became much easier.
Yep.
Yes. How does the system work when you go down to the market? You drive your truck down, and there's a huge marketplace, I'm assuming.
Yes.
And you just, do you get it in bulk? How does that work?
Things, so it's called the New England Produce Center in Chelsea, Mass. They receive product from all over the world, mm-hmm. and it can come in by plane, rail car, trucks, vans, which are carried on trains, and then you see like a big tractor trailer van. So they come into the New England Produce Center. There are a number of distributors there, and you can go to each one and you can look at their product to see what they have. And four or five people might say that sell the same thing, and then you try and pick out. I would try and pick out the best one, the highest quality, and negotiate as good a price as I could, depending upon how much I wanted or how much it cost or what I was willing to buy.
I've been to Guido's many times.
Thank
sure
you very
all of
much.
Have. It's probably one of my favorite grocery stores. And I think my favorite part of the favorite product, I guess I would say, my parents treasure the meats and the fish, and I like the hot food. Like, you always have, I think, breakfast burritos or just mm-hmm. quick, easy snacks. But what is a product that you think what's your favorite product in the store?
That's easy. Caramel apples.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the one with all the chocolate and the peanuts. It's called a triple dip. It's my favorite one.
And do you make those in the store?
Yes.
How long does
have
that
you never
take?
Had one?
I have. We used to get them all the time.
I have.
That's my favorite product.
Yep.
Yeah, so you say that the second generation is beginning to take over Guido's. What part of your legacy and what you've built with the business do you hope that they carry on or continue?
Oh, man. You guys have a lot of good questions. I'm hoping, and we talk to them about this all the time, community service is a big one that Guido's always participates in. giving. We work with a lot of local food banks, and we just want them to make sure that they continue on with doing what we do and helping people.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about environmental protection recently. It's become a major issue in a lot of different ways. How do you hope that the next generation or will what they will do with the store to kind of help your local environment, or what are you doing now to help with that?
Well, that's always, whenever we do anything at Guido's, one of the things that we have to think about is how does this affect the environment? Mm-hmm. We recently, a couple of years ago, we put in a solar field in Great Barrington that takes care of all mm-hmm. of the power in that one store. So that's 100% off, we'll call it off the grid, because mm-hmm. it's self-sustaining there. We do the same thing in Pittsfield, but it's not quite as big. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of solar power coming into that. Unfortunately, the SRECs, we'll call them, the incentives for putting more solar power aren't quite there like yeah. they once were. Mm-hmm. So when we're doing an expansion down in Great Barrington, so we're contemplating about putting more solar in, but we're not quite sure whether or not we can do that yet. As far as the rest of it goes, you know, we eliminate plastic bags. We eliminate as much plastic as we can. And we've taken some of the products that we once did in plastic. Now we put them in jars. For instance, peanut butter. Mm-hmm. We do our own peanut butter down there. We always had it in a 16-ounce plastic container. So we decided to go a step further, purchase some jars at a higher cost that we did not pass on. We just decided that it was better just to get rid of the plastic, use the jars. And frankly, they look much nicer, and we sell way more of them. And the nice thing about this is the people can bring them back and use them again.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's big for us.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever we have the opportunity to eliminate plastic, we do it. Mm-hmm. And the last thing about that, though, I think it comes down to people's personal preference. It's what are they going to do? What are you going to do? Do you need that plastic spoon? Mm-hmm. Okay, where you can bring your own spoon, or you can purchase a spoon that you can use over and over and over again. Do you need that plastic straw? Are you going to use those plastic bags? Mm-hmm. So it's really a lot about, I can't remember the last time I used anything plastic, because I've made it, you know, a life choice not to use plastic. So I think people have to take it upon themselves to do that.
Yep. So how'd you get the name? How did you decide on the name Guido's?
That was my father's name. Uh-huh. And he was big in our lives, so
yeah,
decided to name it after him. Uh-huh. It kind of stuck.
Yep. So how has the local community helped to make Guido's the grocery store that it is?
Well, they keep supporting us. You know, they don't. Yeah. Everybody has a choice of where they want to shop. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, people have been supporting us. I think we do a good job, and they come back and week after week and day after day and continue to support us. And in this way, we can continue to support the community. So it works out great.
Yeah, so this is sort of for new customers, if they're listening to our radio show. What product would you highly recommend if they're walking into the store and they're like, oh, what should I get? I know you mentioned the caramelized apples, but maybe for if they're making a dinner, or there's a specific product that you think really demonstrates Guido's freshness.
There's a new citrus out called a Sumo. I should have brought you guys one. Huh? They're delicious. It's a hybrid of between an orange, I think, and a tangerine. And seedless, easy to peel, delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it type of, what did you say? Is it type
citrus.
Of
citrus. It's an orange.
Yeah.
You guys would like them.
Yeah.
So I think Eli asked a question, but I want to about expansion. Or I want to ask: do you have any plans for future expansion, like different stores in different areas, or would you probably stay in the Berkshires? Or any future plans that you have?
My future plans. And again, I had mentioned earlier about the expansion of our Great Barrington store. But beyond that, that's going to be up to the second generation, whether or not they want to venture out into another store. I'm reluctant to go more than three or four stores because then you lose control of quality and staffing. And not that we micromanage, but you want to be able to go there every day and look at things and check it out. Yeah. So,
okay, this is the 50-50 question. Well, not 50-50. This is the, which store do you like better? The one in Great Barrington or the one in Pittsfield?
Well, I spend more time in Great Barrington. I can't say I have. I don't want to say it's an unfair question.
Okay.
But I spend more time in Great Barrington only because I start in Pittsfield and I end my day in Great Barrington.
I see.
I'm used to the one in Great Barrington. But we had the one in Pittsfield. Seems to does more business, I think, just because of the fact that we offer more products.
Mm-hmm. I see. I think you have, I'm trying to remember, you have a hot bar in the one in Pittsburgh.
Yes. We have a hot bar, we have a salad bar, we have a juice bar, a cafe, we sell pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a beautiful cheese department, there's a gift shop up there.
Yeah.
So there's more things in Pittsfield for people to see and do. And there's always tasting going on.
Uh-huh. So you obviously find it important to have people who start their own businesses and work for themselves or entrepreneurs. Do you have any advice for people who start their own businesses in a community such as this or elsewhere? Just something that you've learned maybe from experience or from what you've done or the difficulties that you've had, how to overcome them or something like that?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds a kind of a cliche, but you know, you never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up. No matter. I mean, you don't always have great years, but you can't give up. And then the one thing that we did, as we got older and more experienced and could afford it, we always hired people who knew more than we did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we ended up. You know, we have a CFO who's been with us for 20 years now, and she came highly recommended by Nora's grandfather when we were at that stage in our lives, George Smith.
Yes.
And he said, it's time for you guys to get a CFO, and we did. And that was one of the best things that happened to us because we knew the retail business, but we didn't necessarily know the other end, the accounting end. And so we hired her. And then we hired people who knew how to cook really well.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother he's a CIA graduate, and he had a background in cooking and is very good at it. But you need to have chefs.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a human resource person. So we always hired people that knew more than us.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much for being on our radio show here today. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
And it was great hearing about Guido, so we will definitely, I know we all go there all the time. Love your smoothie bar. Actually, none of us live in Massachusetts. Only Nora does.
Nora's family is a great customer.
Yeah. Okay, so that was our interview for today. And now Eli's gonna do a little something. And so Eli, here you go.
All right. So we all really enjoy doing our show on this station, and we love listening to other shows that people do on this station. I believe it is a very important thing that a station like this exists in our community. But nonetheless, it would not be possible without donations or pledges from listeners like you. You can donate if
you would like at by phone at 518-697-7400 or by visiting the WGXC website, wgxc.org/donate. And I'll repeat that for anyone who didn't hear it. By phone at 518-697-7400 or by visiting the WGXC website at wgxc.org/donate.
Great. So now we're going to hear a current event from Rafi, and then we're going to wrap the show up with some more music.
Great.
So here's Rafi.
Thank you so much, Eli. This station is very important. And so thank you for talking about that. So now I'm going to talk a bit about some more current events. So Super Tuesday was yesterday, and the results were very surprising. After finishing close to last in the first three primaries and caucuses, Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada, Joe Biden had a very strong day on Saturday in South Carolina with a win of almost 30 points. This came just 3 days before Super Tuesday and provided the former vice president with a lot of momentum moving into that big day. This decisive win also showed that Biden was overwhelmingly popular among the African-American community, a constituency which had not yet been a big part of the previous three contests. Most everyone thought that Biden's campaign was pretty much over until the South Carolina primary. After South Carolina, though, two moderates, Klobuchar and Buttigieg, who were competing for votes with Biden, both dropped out and endorsed him, which again provided him with a big boost. These endorsements show how much the moderate Democrats believe that Biden has a much higher chance of winning than Sanders. So yesterday, on Super Tuesday, Biden's wave of momentum was reinforced with a very significant win across the board. He dominated in southern states, taking North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, and Oklahoma by more than 12 points in each one. He also crushed Sanders in Virginia, winning it by 30%, and took an important win in Texas by 5%. Texas has the second most delegates of any Super Tuesday state, so this win was crucial for Biden to take a sweeping victory. Sanders has only managed to come up with three victories so far, that in his home state of Vermont, in Colorado, and in Utah. He also looks in line to come up with a win in California, which would significantly boost his delegate count. Many of the ballots cast for Sanders in California seem to have been early votes, and much of Biden's support comes from those who have just decided on a candidate, according to exit polls. However, it looks as though Biden will still be in the lead in delegates, even if Sanders will win, even if Sanders wins and hangs on to win California. So Biden's huge success with African Americans and his unexpected poor performance yesterday has prompted a new discussion about who would be his vice president if he were nominated. Originally, it was thought that he would probably have chosen Stacey Abrams, a young, charismatic African-American woman who barely lost the gubernatorial race in Georgia 2 years ago. However, now it seems that Biden has so much support from an African-American community that he might want to choose someone who will be able to pull some Bernie voters over to his side. The obvious choice for this is Elizabeth Warren, who seems to be a second choice right now for both moderate and very far-left Democrats. She is the only potential vice president who can unite the Bernie supporters and those of Biden. So that's a little recap of Super Tuesday, and those are all my opinions and what I think. So that's not opinions of this radio station or anything like that. So now we are going to play some music. This is a song that we are playing in our band at school, and it's also it also involves a blues at the end of it, a 12-bar blues, this one an F. But this song begins with something a bit different. This is a pretty famous song from Dave Brubeck Quartet in his album Time Out called Blue Rondo a la Turca.
Great.
Yep.
So here is that song.
Thank you.
So that was a little Dave Brubeck. And before we move over to our last song, I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Make sure to tune in on the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. for a myriad of musings and music with the ninth grade from Berkshire Country Day School. And here's our last song. Rafi's just going to tell us the name, and then we're going to let it go.
Great. Okay. Yep. So this is going to close us out. And this is another Dave Brubeck. This is probably one of his most famous songs. This is also on album Time Out. And this is Take 5. By Dave Brubeck.
Okay, we have a slight correction.
Sorry, yep. This song actually I think was written by his saxophonist, Desmond, Paul Desmond. So that's who wrote the song. I don't think it was actually written by Dave Brubeck. So sorry about that. Just wanted to correct myself. And now we are going to end the show with Take Five once more. ¶¶